You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine, built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Okay, you guys, my husband and I are getting ready to celebrate the 15th anniversary of when we met. And we're kind of dorks about our anniversary and we love surprising each other. And so I'm really glad to have a place like Macy's where I can find something for the man who has everything. So if you're looking for your partner or your best friend or someone that you care very much about, like me, you're in luck because Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. You're going to get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus, free shipping when you spend $25. It's April 25th through May 5th at Macy's.com and in-store.
Friends, it is the season of cheers. Shop the largest selection of wine, liquor, beer, mixers, and more delivered in as little as 1 hour.
Oh, that's so easy. Mini bar delivery brings the wine and liquor store to the palm of your hand. As featured in Rolling Stone, People, the New York Times Magazine, their app is loaded with party essentials, gifts, cocktails, entertaining tips, and the perfect finishing touch to any life moment.
And you'll get $10 off your first mini bar delivery order with code IHEART. Get mini bar delivery on the go, available on iOS or Android.
Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant makes navigation a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while you're on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required. Is it hoarding if it's boots? I don't think so. A woman can never have too many pairs of boots. It's the perfect gift for your loved ones and for yourself. So, this festival and concert season is all about boots. Everybody has to show up in style, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert with all your friends. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. We're here to talk about Nathan returning home from the hospital with unpaid bills in episode 21 of season 2. What could have been? Air date May 17th, 2005. So Nathan's poor. The friends throw him a movie night fundraiser at Trick. Lucas is determined to take down Dan, and he enlists Andy for help. Meanwhile, Dan is inexplicably, again, trying to make amends with Nathan and encourages him to move back home. I mean, can he stop barking up this tree already? While telling Haley a big lie about her marriage, Peyton suggests Brooke is getting closer to Lucas. Is it a lie? Though that's in the synopsis that he's telling a lie, but we don't know that Nathan didn't sign those papers.
No.
So I don't know if it was a lie or not, actually. Yeah, I think all of the implications are actually pointing to the fact that he just did, but it was off camera.
We all said this episode was kind of like expository and there was like a lot of dialogue that felt like we were setting things up or wrapping things up. But it was directed by Bethany Rooney, who sure is good at her job. Bethany Rooney.
She's good people, too. She's just like a cool person. I like her.
Yeah, I've worked with her on a couple other shows and she's just such a solid director. And so the way this episode was shot was so fun. The movie night at Trick looked like a super fun party. The scenes between Brooke and Lucas are super intimate and sweet, you know? So then that gut punch at the end hurts. The scene of Haley, like, you know, what husband? And then like falling into her tears at the keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah, she did a great job of making us care because this episode kind of felt like, I mean, we know everything that we were just coming off of. The last few episodes were not stellar. So to get, I feel like the writer's room has somewhere else, like a whole different path for everybody that they want to go on right now. But they couldn't just jump into it right away. We had to tie up all these loose ends. And that's kind of what this episode felt like. It was tying up loose ends and opening some new doors. So there's not a lot that happens, but it's preparing.
And it was interesting to me because I felt like the writers used Nathan as the bridge. Mm-hmm. You know, like if we were doing games at camp and someone had to be the one, like like Nathan is the one, and suddenly he's like this wise sage oracle.
Yeah,
who's
suddenly
just saying all these deep things. Like, what? It's hilarious. It's hilarious to me.
If Nathan is the oracle, what does that make Dan? Hillary, you called it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Listen, Dan with the paperwork in this episode, I'm like, is he Ursula the Sea Witch? He's just like, give me a voice, kid. Sign this paper. I'll make all your dreams come true. Oh, I love Dan the Sea Witch.
It's great.
Listen, there's going to be a fan out there that puts Dan's face on Ursula's body, and it is going to please me.
Give it
so
to
much.
Us. Y'all have give it to us, listeners.
Your pretty face.
Body language.
Oh, my God. Even the way he, like, approached you in that scene, and he was like, what do you think Nathan sent me?
Like, it was wiggling his body.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, Dan.
Bad guys are just going
to
bad guys.
Let's talk about Dan, because he is so confusing to me in this episode. We've seen him have changes of heart before, and they were all motivated by some life-threatening incident. His first one being, the heart attack he had with
the
Deb.
The heart attack.
When Deb was like, I hope you die, or he said, you better hope I die.
Wait, you just reminded me of something.
What?
Because Dan had that weird, like, if you think about it, like a syndrome, he had like post heart attack syndrome. I don't know if this is a real thing, but I mean, and we're saying it is for this argument I'm making.
No, you're a doctor on TV.
I'm a doctor
Sophia.
On TV, guys. This is real. Well, I know there's like things people have sometimes, like there is a real affliction called a post-surgical depression. So I'm wondering if like there's a, you know, post-accident high. Yes. Yeah. Like a near-death experience can give you kind of a high or a clarity. And Dan had that near-death experience high where he was being weird. And remember, Deb was like, you're freaking everybody out.
Yeah.
You know? And now Nathan just had this near-death experience and he's this wise sage who's like, Mom, you're just a human doing your best. And what if me and Haley have been spending too much energy in the wrong places? Like, he's suddenly like a therapist. It's crazy. And
a teenage boy who has never seen a therapist, who definitely should.
And who definitely is not in touch with his feelings in the way that Lucas is. Or, I mean, that's the basis of his whole character is he's like
this child just tried to kill himself. Like this child just tried to kill himself. And the writers are like, should we send him to a shrink? No. Let's send his drunko mom to the, you know, rehab facility.
He's just going to have an awakening.
He's going to go to movie night.
Yeah.
And then he makes a Dr. Phil joke when Lucas says you need to talk to someone. And yet, through the episode, the writers gave him the dialogue of a 46-year-old college professor therapist.
Right, right, right.
It was very bizarre. Yeah. Very bizarre.
But I will say, as bizarre as it felt, I gotta hand it to James. He did a beautiful job.
Always.
He was so grounded in these sort of emotional realizations that Nathan is having that, you know, in the hands of another very young actor might have felt really soap opera-y and weird. And he really, he did it beautifully, even though the dialogue, when we think about it on the page, is a little ridiculous for a teenage boy.
Yeah, he committed. He that is, I mean, you can never accuse James of not fully committing to his material. Mm-hmm. Whatever you give him, he throws himself at it 100%. Mm-hmm. And I loved seeing that. But I'm still confused about why Dan is suddenly having a change of heart with
and
Lucas
crying.
And crying and like, and then, well then, I mean, he's still like, this is how far we've come. You don't believe me when I'm sincere.
No,
no one believes you ever. He's the ultimate boy that cried wolf. So
I think part of what made that scene feel weird too, you know, Nathan goes in there and they're having this argument, but it's set like a weird TV movie with like the fire going, like the set felt like a soap opera. And then the music was like, Kenny
the
Loggins.
Music was making me insane.
What was that?
It was a lot of slow jazz.
It was really weird. So it kind of undercut the moment, which now I'm going, well, I wonder if it was a device to make you feel like it was insincere. I don't know. Now I'm going like a full beautiful mind trying to connect things.
Yeah, how meta is it's like, what are we doing? I think it was so that Nathan would just move in with his dad so that like the chicks could live in the apartment. Yeah. I mean, honestly, how much debauchery can we get up to when you're living with Karen? Is this how Brooke gets the apartment? Like, are we just setting it up?
Yeah.
Our sweet like Three's Company?
Yeah, because Haley comes home at some point and then I move in there. Or do I move in first? I actually don't remember. I just remember we had two beds in one room, and I actually did that one summer in college. My best friend and I couldn't afford to get a two-bedroom apartment in L.A. for the summer, so we got a tiny little studio, and we had two beds in it, and it was cute. It was actually
By the way,
cute.
I would still do that now as a grown-up.
Honestly, same.
If you guys want to just get a crash pad
My husband's not
together.
Into it, but I'm like, we should live on a commune. And he's like, I'm more introverted than you. I'm like, I want to be underneath other humans always. Just like in a puppy pile. I want to nap in a group. And Grant is like, we are not the same.
God. Do you know how sometimes like people will pick up things that we say from the podcast and make them into news stories?
Yeah.
I need Sophia's news story this week to be like, I just want to be underneath people.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a sexual way. I'm realizing as you've repeated it that it sounds terrible. Oh, I don't mean like get over somebody by getting over somebody.
Nobody
I don't mean
thought
that.
You meant that. Nobody thought
I
you
mean,
meant
like,
that.
I mean like, I want to snuggle like new puppies. All the time.
Well,
yeah.
Brooke's about to get there, and this is the episode that set it up, I think. This whole thing about Nathan needing to raise money because he's poor all of a sudden. I love that that's the device on our show that's like, oh, man, Brooke's poor. Nathan's poor. This is the worst.
These poor, poor kids.
I think I would imagine that, like, they had written all the other stuff for the episode, and they just went, oh, we can't do another episode like this in a row of just a bunch of talking heads and nothing happening. And somebody said, we need a big group event to happen in the midst of all this other stuff. And then somebody came up with the movie night, which was cute. I
liked it.
What?
Loved the setup for it with the River Court boys hanging out with the basketball team and everybody at Karen's. That felt so good and natural and really how it was in real life behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We need more of that energy.
I can't figure out what parents let their high school teenagers go to a bar for a lock-in. Maybe it wasn't a lock-in. Maybe it wasn't overnight.
Yeah. The thing, when you said that when we were watching the episode, I thought, oh, yeah, there's no like bar cage. Like there's nothing that locks up the alcohol. Yeah. They just trust us. Well, like what?
Yeah.
All these young kids, and you think nobody's going to like swipe a bottle from the bar? This feels like parenting 101. But I guess
they've figured that they've established a trust with Trix High School night or like non.
Yeah.
What do they call it?
Because it's one of those places night. Where they lock up the liquor elsewhere. Like it's kept off premises.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the things I wanted explained in
like,
the episode.
I will say, I remember there was a really fun, you know, honestly, kind of like a high school / college club in LA, not like, you know, a sunset club, like the places people used to sneak into news, but like they would do high school nights. They would do these all ages nights. And I remember they would card people at the door and, you know, you could get in if you were 17 or 18, but for kids who were older, and I think you couldn't come in past like 23 or something, but they had like a separate room. And so the kids that were of age got wristbands and only they could go into the room where the bar was. But I remember the rest of us, like we had just graduated and we turned 18 and we felt like so cool to be there. Just like we're going dancing like the grown kids do.
That does sound fun.
But like Trick doesn't have a separate space.
Yeah.
So I guess they just think
no
one's siphoning off the bar. I don't know.
Are we going to open an all ages club? Is that our next entrepreneurial idea?
I'm not mad at it. I loved being a camp counselor. I'm ready.
Because when I was in high school, I remember that there were a couple like places in town that did that. And I was never allowed to go to them because my dad was just like, perverts hang out in those places, like fishing for teenage girls.
That's why you got to have an age limit. You can't just have like 40-year-old men in a bar with 17-year-old girls. That's gross.
No, it's like teenage night or something, but you can't have it all.
That's a hard pass.
Mix like that. Do you guys remember the first time you ever got drunk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
Well, Sophia,
I'm just like, I'm having that visceral moment of like remembering the feeling of going, oh, I don't like this. Because the first couple times you do it, you don't know your body. You don't do it well. It's not elegant.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't drink really. Like, they would have Margarita Fridays on TRL, but because I was everyone's little sister, everyone was real touchy about, like, okay, you can have one, you know? I feel like I'm going to get people in trouble. But the first time I really remember being, like, hammered was my 21st birthday at the MTV Beach House with Ashley Simpson, and her sister was visiting, and Jessica had like just had her birthday or was going to have her birthday and was like, everyone was kind of making it about her. And I was like, it's my birthday. And I was such an asshole. And I just remember being so, so, so drunk and coming home and my boyfriend trying to like make sure I was thrown up in a bucket. And I was just David, leave me alone. And boy, his name sure wasn't David. That was a whole bag of problems.
Oh my God.
I waited a really long time. And then I made up for it when we moved to Wilmington.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
What about you?
Yeah.
You were champagne girl,
yeah,
right?
I was champagne. I was too young to go and some rich boy took me on a date.
I think his last name was like Van Elswick or something like that.
Oh my God. Like a Gossip Girl character.
Totally. Oh my God. You could have written him right out of Gossip Girl. Went to the Bubble Lounge and, I feel like I've talked about this on the show before. Anyway, I drank champagne at the table and then got up to go to the bathroom and the whole room just like spun around me and kind of went, oh, that's what this feeling is.
Did not know that.
I think I was 18. I was never much of a big drinker though. I mean, I don't like the feeling of being drunk and I definitely don't like it the next morning.
Mm-mm. No. Oh, that headache is not good.
No.
Yeah. I was much more often the designated driver than not.
Yeah.
True to form.
And also like high school when, you know, it was a big house party culture out here. And my mom was so scary. I was like, it's just not worth it. So, you know, I got drunk here and there with friends, but more often than not, I drove everybody. because I was like, I just don't want to piss off Maureen. Right, I'm scared of her.
What kind of scary is I want to call her Mo so bad, but she won't let me. Yeah. What kind of scary is Maureen?
I know. And you worked on her for almost 20 years and she's like, no.
Mo. Don't call me Mo.
She's that kind of scary.
But what it's kind of scary Mo. Is she with the book? Is she the kind of mom that's like scary because if you tell me, then I will show up for you and it'll be okay. But if you don't tell me, I will like you'll be in trouble for the rest of your life. Or is she like, don't ever do any of this stuff. If you ever do, I'll murder you before you get a chance to do it again. what kind of scary are we dealing with?
My mom created what I like to call the holy parenting trinity because she managed to be all of the things at once. So point one. My mother was like, kid, I grew up in New York with a crazy Italian family that got into you'll never see that you might see in a movie. So then it was like, oh, my God, I'm so intimidated by this woman who like, you know, partied in a place where so did Andy Warhol. Then the next point was you also just don't want to be the person everyone's talking about on Monday. It's so embarrassing. It's so tacky. Yeah. So then there was like the shame spiral. And then the last point of the trifecta, the third and I think perfect thing to say was if you do decide to drink because you're a kid and you're going to be curious and everybody's going to at some point, don't be stupid enough to get in a car with someone else. If you get in a car with someone else after you or any of your friends have been drinking, I will kill you myself. If you call me, I will come pick you up because I will be more proud of you for calling me than I would ever be mad at you for trying something I know you're going to try eventually anyway.
Yeah.
I just want you to be safe. So it created this whole thing where I was like, well, I can never get away with anything, so I'm not going to try. Mm-hmm. I also really don't want to call my mom to pick me up at a party because how embarrassing. So I'll drive. And you know, and then I was like, and yeah, every once in a while when I'm going to like break the rules, I'll sleep over at somebody else's house because I really don't want to have to see my mother.
I don't want to come home.
I just don't want to come home. I'll go to the party I can walk to from like my high school best friend's house.
Yeah.
And that's the party we'll drink at and we'll walk home because I'm not going to put myself in the line of fire for this like scary East Coast woman.
That's good. It's good mommy. It's good. It's good
mommy. East Coast women are scary.
They're
so
scary and I like it. That's where
so
I get it.
Scary. Well, look, we had strong mom energy here, except Karen wasn't at the all ages club making sure that everybody was like sober and not hooking up on
no
the floor.
No one was bartending. You, Hillary, Karen was in charge of the night.
What happened?
Karen's at home sending emails to Keithy Boy. You know, Andy's like being BFF with Lucas and she's like, Keith, I just really care about you. And, you know, I don't know. That letter was a little...
Mm-hmm. That felt like another
kind of... It was
putting
out a feeler.
It just felt like another bridge that I was like, where did this come from? Like, Karen was just very much in it with Andy and feeling protected, you know, in her relationship with Andy. Andy's like out on a limb trying to help her and help Keith. And then...
He lost his job.
Yeah.
He's like trying to help Lucas. And it, like, they never interact once in this episode. She's just like, Keith, pay attention to me. Keith, I'm not going anywhere.
Mm.
Is that it? Which is, I guess the other side of it, though, is this is her best friend. He's been around forever and ever. And she, in small part, I guess, or in part, contributed to the situation of the being left at the altar. You know what I mean?
It's muddy.
She could have told him earlier. She didn't, you know, it's like, I get it. And I don't know that anybody else would have made a different decision. But... there is a lot. I mean, it's your best friend. What are you going to do? You're going to just like ignore and let him just like go and not check in and not be like, hey, are we
no,
okay?
No, maybe it's just the supplemental stuff of like looking at the photo album also felt kind of like romantic.
Okay, yeah.
They
yeah,
supplemented the email with some other just like layers that felt like we were the family.
Yeah.
And I think we also came out of a scene where Nathan's talking about his family, you know, like there's a lot of... There was a lot of family talk in this episode.
For Peyton, too.
For the whole gang. And revisiting the past is a theme in this episode.
Mm.
So Karen is revisiting the former family structure that she had with Keith and Lucas. And then Nathan is revisiting the former structure he used to have
with Dan,
with his parents, yeah. but also with Tim and Peyton. Mm-hmm. Like sitting around yep. in Trick, that little club of Nathan, Tim, and Peyton, before our pilot episode, that was the group that hung out.
That's right.
Like how many Friday nights did those guys spend together?
Yeah.
But we never got to see it.
Yeah, it's a great point.
And so seeing that group together was just kind of a rewind for the audience, you know, of like what could have been. Yep. You know, mm-hmm. if Lucas had never shown up, it would have still been Tim and Peyton and Nathan sitting around on a couch, being miserable, bitching about all the things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the scene.
That's good. Good stuff. Well, speaking of Tim.
Speaking
guys,
of.
Guys, we have a really special guest. Brett Claywell is here.
He's here.
So excited to talk with him.
And in real life, he's a good guy.
It's true.
Friends, you are going to love Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the safest and easiest way to digitize your memories on analog media that you don't have a way to watch anymore.
With Mother's Day fast approaching, it's a great gift for the whole family. Relive moments like wedding days, first steps, or the embarrassing haircut you had in the 90s. Thank you very
much. I feel
attacked. Please don't go look at my yearbook. You guys can reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again for the first time. It's priceless.
And the process is really easy. You just send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. And then their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the USA. And you'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals.
It honestly is just the easiest thing. I loved this. When they sent ours to the house, it was like, throw all your stuff in it. It honestly felt kind of ridiculous to me. I was like, is this okay? I'm just like sending a box of all these loose goods. Like, really? I just do this? And they did such a beautiful job with like everything from our old videos, old Polaroids. It was really, really special. And I can't wait to do a round two.
And it opened up all that space on my shelf because I've got all these bins full of VHS tapes and same, big photos. And just to be able to open that space up is really, really nice.
Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Just go to legacybox.com/drama to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. Legacybox.com/drama.
Friends, we need a second to talk about Squarespace. Squarespace has so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of the product features that I love is their asset library. You can upload, organize, and access all of your content from one place. With the new asset library, you're able to manage all of your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. They also have flexible website templates, so you can get started with one of their professional website templates with designs for every category and use case. Then you just customize your look, update content, and add features to fit your unique needs. You can make any Squarespace template do what you want, so your idea, your brand, or your business stands out online on every device. Plus, they will make selling your products on an online store a breeze. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So I play this little game every morning where I leave the house looking decrepit. And then I drop my children off at school. And then I get to my office and I take out a nice, cute little bag that came with my Thrive Cosmetic order. And with just a couple of products, I'm able to look like a normal, happy, healthy human again. It's incredible. I love these products. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Now, a few of my favorite products include their incredible Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. Its easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like wax and blends like a powder. Just line brows to give this some structure and create natural-looking strokes of hair to fill in sparse brows. It comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame brows after applying the pencil, and there are 8 shades to choose from that adjust to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Now, my other favorite product, I've been talking about this forever, is the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. And it's super easy to remove, you guys. This is my favorite part. It just slides right off with warm water, doesn't leave smudges, doesn't pull your eyelashes out. It's incredible. Its nourishing ingredients support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/drama. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/drama for 10% off your first order.
You guys, I am spread so thin and I am in my car 90% of the day shuttling children. So when I am parked in the pickup line and I can get my grocery shopping done, it is the greatest treat in the world. And that is why I am obsessed with Thrive Market.
Absolutely, because the one thing everyone has to do is grocery shop. So why not do it from the comfort of your couch while you're killing time in the parking lot, wherever you are? That's where Thrive Market comes in for me. It's the no junk food, healthy grocery store that we love, that your kids love. It's great.
That's it, baby. Thrive Market is my go-to for all of my grocery and household essentials. And the convenience of getting everything online and then quickly shipped to my doorstep is a huge time saver.
And I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. See, they restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories. And then you can use their on-site filters to suit whatever your lifestyle needs are.
Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/drama for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/drama. thrivemarket.com/drama.
So one of my goals for 2024 is to shop more sustainably, right? I mean, it's not just spending money and buying stuff. You can actually do a lot of good with the money that you spend. So I love being able to shop sustainably at Macy's, and I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes that make a big difference. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elmis, and more. Plus, to bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
The man who is so good with those beets, he takes a little morsel on a page and makes it into a very tasty comedic meal. We've got the one and only Tim. Brett Claywell. Get him in here. I feel like we should be doing a Ravens cheer for him when he comes.
Yeah.
He's
our man. He's
go,
our
go, get him, get go, him. Go, 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 get him, get him.
Oh, my God. Look at this facial hair.
Can I see this ponytail?
You have a bun?
He's got a man bun. What is happening?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I haven't cut my hair since my son was born. So since 2020.
Oh my gosh. How old is your son, right?
Finn is over 2, so he's 2 years and 3 months now.
Oh, your daughter is 6 months old.
Is almost 7 months.
Wow. Oh
my gosh. You have 2 COVID babies.
I have 2 COVID babies. What the hell else was there to do? There was nothing else to do.
There was nothing else to do. You're
now,
not
Finn,
wrong.
Finn was born right... January 2020. So we got back to LA. He was born in Perth. We got back to LA on March 3rd, and the lockdown started 2 weeks later. So
oh boy.
It's been stuck with, but it was great. I got so much time with my kids. I got amazing little dudes. She's amazing. He's amazing. I'm ecstatic. It's what I was put on this planet for.
Goodness.
You always wanted to be a dad.
I'm a North Carolina boy. Yeah. Hollywood just ripped me out of my home. But I've always been a North Carolina. Yeah, I love it. It's like, it's the best part of me. It's my motivation. It's my inspiration. It's my purpose. and has made me a better man in every respect since I've had children.
Aww, you that. Slapped that on a mug. Give it up that for Father's so Day. Sweet. I like that.
Brett, did you grow up? You grew up in North Carolina, or were you just in the South?
Born and raised. First time I ever lived outside the state was season two of One Tree Hill.
I even
went to school there. I went to NC State. I was born. Yeah, I'm Southern through and through.
Love it.
I still remember first time I had a line on One Tree Hill. I remember hearing myself, and I remember the line. First time I was like, oh.
What was the line?
I said, come on, Nathan. I'm just trying to win.
I'm trying to win. Oh, my God. That's perfect.
Is that how I talk?
Oh, my gosh.
I was way too Southern. So
it
was perfect.
It was great.
There's so many different Southern dialects. And there's such a specific North Carolina dialect, the
wean,
the can't, sir. Like, there are certain words that we had to say all the time that are just, like, incredibly Carolina.
It was like Tree Hill was not in North Carolina, but Tim was. So it was like, I had to move a little bit.
I loved it. We were just talking about how wonderful and charming it was to watch the scene in this episode where we're all at Karen's planning the fundraiser and to see, you know, the popular high school kids, you know, Tim and Peyton and Brooke with all the River Court kids and the melding
not
of those
the
groups.
High school kid.
But Tim's hit. He's a varsity athlete. Like, that's the setup of the beginning of the show anyway.
That's true.
Even if they gave you a lot of that like sidekick slapstick comedy. And I think they just gave you so much of it because you were so good at it. Like, you took anything.
You're the only person that could do it.
You took anything on a page that was a suggestion of something funny and you made it hilarious. And so they just kept giving you that.
Thank you. That's very kind.
They should have paid you better, bro.
Yeah.
They should
have paid me. Yeah, dude. It was so nice to see all those Carolina boys like sitting around a table kind of shooting the shit. Felt really good. And the three of us were kind of reflecting on how we wish we'd gotten to have so much more of that.
Like, we had that all the time. Like, I don't know if you guys, but we got together. I hung out way more with the ball players on the team than the cast, in a way. I grew up, you know, I won a state championship in North Carolina was in high school. Mm-hmm. I'm the only white kid to ever play at my high school, ever, still.
Really?
Yeah, wow.
Still, there's...
What was your high school?
Dudley High School. My high school team, we were the number one ranked public school in the nation.
We were number
12 in the country my senior year. Brendan Haywood, who played with LeBron and played in the NBA. He was my high school center. We had three straight state player of the years on the team. So a sophomore, a junior, a senior.
Damn.
When they were all senior. Like, we had a ridiculous high school. We lost to Oak Hill and then we lost in double overtime to like a state school who was runner up the year before. So we lost two games all year.
Wow.
And I missed the Oak Hill game because I had a play. In high school.
I was doing
Never Saw Another Butterfly, which was a story about concentration camps.
Oh my God.
A boy and a girl that wrote letters to each other across the wall.
Competition
theater. So we had like the state play. So I had to go because I was Hansa. I was the lead in the play. So I had to miss the game to go do the play.
So you had a state
play over the game
with a playoff.
Yeah, but so in North Carolina, there was state theater. I went to Weaver, which in Greensboro, there was a school that if your school didn't offer a program, you could do it at this. So it was all the schools in the county.
Wow.
And it was the county theater. Oh. So it was two periods, fifth and sixth period. And it was like the best actors from the area. And it was like really cool to get into. They won the state play every other year because they wouldn't let you win it back to back years. It was just a really cool. I've been doing theater since I was in 6 years old doing children's theater. Like, I was always loved theater. And I always would do that. Like, I would find when I was a kid, there's videos of like, we did Winnie the Pooh and I gave my character a really strong Southern accent, even though it wasn't in the script. Like, it was always like trying to make the audience laugh. But I just never saw it as a career. And then I was I went to school for architecture. That's what my degree was in. I had an architecture job. Yeah, I was an architect. I worked at a firm for 2 years before Once you're healed, I quit my job 2 weeks before college because my theater professor was like, you should go try this. And I was like, wait, you can make it from North Carolina to act? And so I quit my job. First job in Wilmington was delivering pizzas. That's why I was a pizza boy in season 5.
Stop it.
They were trying to, I think we just lost.
She'll come back.
She'll be back.
She's got country
yeah,
she's
in and out.
Yeah.
Anyway, they did that on purpose to kind of like, it was like a little poke.
But wait a second. So you got a job as a pizza delivery in real life.
Yeah, Domino's.
And then how do you end up on One Tree Hill from that?
Yeah.
I did Dawson's Creek before.
Okay.
So how many? I was actually cast in the series finale of Dawson's and the pilot of One Tree Hill at the same time.
What?
So I didn't get to do Dawson's. I had to do One Tree Hill instead.
You are blowing my mind right now because the fact that there's a whole chunk of your life I'm realizing none of us knew because you came in with the basketball team.
Yeah.
We all literally thought you auditioned playing basketball out of college.
Yeah.
No,
you feel like a CIA agent to me right now. You had a whole other life we didn't even know about.
I knew the Finn Cannons. I'd been there about 6 months. I knew the Finn Cannons. I was actually out of town and I drove back because you guys knew her. I'm not going to mention, but my girlfriend's mother passed away in between me auditioning and me getting the part.
What?
So I was in Texas. I drove back from Texas because her mother was in the hospital. I had actually sent in to the Finn Cannons a video of me playing basketball just because you're doing a basketball show. You only know me as an actor. Here's me playing ball. I sent a letter to Craig Finn Cannon. I was like, I didn't know how it worked. I was like, I'm just going to hustle. And hey, I got in on Friday. I auditioned on Friday. I knew they had open tryouts for basketball. So I was like, hey, can I come? And they're like, it's just for extras. I was like, I'll come anyway, because I knew. And like, I can't, there's like 200 people there.
Because I knew.
I knew.
Yeah, there's 200 people there. We did 3-on-3, 3-on-2 drills, which we were doing like a weave drill. I go down the first time down. I like fake this way. I wrap the ball around behind my back. The guys lays all the guys. Like, I know some of the guys because I play ball. But like they all go up, I'm backing down the court on defense, and I'm pointing up at Mark. Like I literally pointed at him.
Oh my god, that is fire! Like,
so then the continuation of the story, they had us come. They had somebody else's picture on the wall for Tim. He's a friend of mine, actually. I knew who the guy was, so they already had somebody else they had selected. And then Mark told me I got the part, and the full true story is my phone rang a minute later, and her mother had just passed away.
Oh my God.
I'm not mentioning your name, Hillary, but you know who it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I drove back from Texas to be with her, and I stayed in Wilmington because I wanted the part, and it was always painful because she wanted me with her, and I couldn't go see her, and I got the part, but it was literally hand in hand. So it's why I was so protective over her the whole time because I told her mother I would look over her and watch over her, and she's doing amazing now. She has children. She's
happy.
But it was
isn't it crazy that we're all grown up with kids now? You know what I mean? Like
I'm not grown up. Who are you talking about?
I've got pictures that I took on the pilot on like a film camera where I still had to like go take it over to the Costco and get the film developed. And you two were together in those pictures and like Chad's a baby, Antoine. I have a picture of Antoine like chewing with his mouth open, like he's a baby.
I miss those days. So fun.
They were fun.
We were babies.
Yeah, babies. I literally have a photo album. That's how old it was. I literally have a photo album.
Flip through.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Do you really?
Yeah, for sure.
Will you post pictures?
I'm like, please send us some of these photos.
Share. Let me, I can post some.
You're going to have to edit.
Wait. But Brett, I mean, yes, I want to see whatever you have in that photo album, but I also want to know. Do you think the Finn Cannons have video of that basketball day? Because we need it. Like that audition?
Somebody has to. Because that's where we met Jabbar and Vaughn was there.
Narion and all those guys.
Because we used to all, when you play ball, and that's just like part of your passion, you go to a new city and you're like, where are the pickup courts?
Yeah.
We actually all played pickup before. I used to go to MP Park, which is where Michael Jordan grew up playing. And like it was all hood people. One of my dudes, I brought some white dudes there. They didn't know how it worked. They said too much and he got his tooth knocked out and like was bleeding out of his mouth because he said the wrong thing. Kind of good. Maybe not. But like we all balled together in like these rough neighborhoods and then we end up on a TV show together. So we're like, oh.
So wait, who'd you know from before? Who were you hanging out with before the pilot?
I had balled with Zach before. I had balled with Darion before. I balled with Jabbar before. Daniel came down from, I think, Carolina or somewhere. So I hadn't played with him. I think I'd probably played with Vaughn before.
Brandon Vaughn is so Vaughn, fun.
Vaughn, and Vaughn was like really a baller in high school. Like Vaughn was like legit.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, we all just kind of, some of us knew each other, some of us didn't. But yeah, there has to be video of that day of where like we met the Ravens for the first time.
Oh, we're going to get it.
Yeah, get it.
I love all our team photos. Like, I always get happy when fans tack us in our, like, team photos with the whole cheerleading squad, with the whole basketball team.
Yeah.
So cutie.
Because the line between fact and fiction has gotten just thinner and thinner and thinner as we've gotten older. Blurry.
There was a show behind the show at all times.
What do you remember about getting to Wilmington and getting to know this whole crew, all the people that you didn't know before? And
I mean, the beauty of what I worked with the crew before One Tree Hill, right?
Mm. Oh, did you do Summer Catch?
I did Dawson's.
Oh, right.
And I did a bunch of other things on the lot. Like I was I just didn't know the world. I was just like, I'm going to break my way in. Mm-hmm. So I started as a PA.
Yeah.
Then I started as an extra. Then I met my agent as an extra. Then I started auditioning and then I booked everything. So like in Wilmington, I booked like 7 straight jobs. So that's
that
why I went out
nice.
Of town and the Finn Cannons were like, you should come back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was kind of like they would just, if I went in the room, I felt like I was going to walk out of the room with a job. Like,
wow. That's a dream feeling for an actor.
I didn't know LA. I didn't know how
well, cause, that was. Hey, by the way, like neither did I though. Yeah. And I think maybe that's why we became friends, Brett, because I was incredibly intimidated by LA and you were also like, I don't know what I'm doing out there.
Yeah.
Like it was scary because we came from the East Coast and when you're a young actor, all that pressure to like go to LA and make it and do pilot season and like do all those kinds of rituals that we're told are the things that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That didn't work for me, you know?
No, and it was weird for me because I didn't know LA enough to be like, the times where I'm like, wait, I mean, the hierarchy, I was always someone like, people told me I'd never make the basketball team at my school, right? People told me I'd never get into architecture school. People have told me my whole life what I couldn't do. And I love the ability to prove them wrong. So in this world,
we know, in by this the way, world,
yeah,
we know.
To my detriment at times. In this world, there was a hierarchy. I didn't get it. I was like, oh, I can work my way to where I want to be. You guys are all flying to TRL. I'm like, why am I still here at our house? Like, that looks fun. And I
wait, because you guys all live together, right?
Yeah, the first week, 2 weeks, Chad, James, and I lived together. The rest of the season, James and I lived together.
Yep, I remember all that.
Ooh, Mother's Day can be hard to shop for because there's that bad habit of buying mom things that she needs, you know, like, oh, here's some oven mitts, mom, or here's a new vacuum cleaner, mom. But Mother's Day is really about showering the woman who does so much with just a little extra love. And so Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. Now you can shop by price, like $25 and under or $100 and under, or by category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or they have gift lists if you're really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, or for the plant lover, or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven. It goes on and on. So whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop at Macy's.com/giftfinder. All right, you guys know that I have been wearing Skims for a while now. I've bragged about it. Just recently, I tried another one of their t-shirts. Now, it's the best fitting t-shirt I have ever worn. And that's because Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I get dressed every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning because the second I leave the house to take the kids to school, I'm in meetings, I'm doing Zooms, I'm driving all over the town, I'm going to Home Depot to get stuff for my yard. You know, like I'm constantly on the go. And so I want to be comfortable, but I also don't want to look like a bum. And these t-shirts are the perfect fix, you guys. They look great, they fit great, and they feel great. So shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small, all the way up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant makes navigation a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while you're on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Friends, it is the season of cheers. Shop the largest selection of wine, liquor, beer, mixers, and more delivered in as little as 1 hour.
Oh, that's so easy. Mini Bar Delivery brings the wine and liquor store to the palm of your hand. As featured in Rolling Stone, People, the New York Times Magazine, their app is loaded with party essentials, gifts, cocktails, entertaining tips, and the perfect finishing touch to any life moment.
And you'll get $10 off your first mini bar delivery order with code IHEART. Get mini bar delivery on the go, available on iOS or Android.
Ooh, honey, you know that I can't wear fancy shoes with a dress. I am a boots and dress woman. So now that festival and concert season are going to be all about boots, Tecovas must be your stop before attending your next concert, you guys. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparels, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. This is so important. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. And the smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Wait, talk about the house that you guys lived in.
You guys first
Sophia
had that.
And I came to garden.
Oh, it my was... God. You had that creepy ass haunted house. And Hillary, I will never forget. You and I went over there with like bags of stuff from Bed Bath & Beyond because we were like, we cannot let them live like this.
That
we
was my fault. Like that was all my fault.
You picked out that
all
house.
All the blame. Because they were gone. And I'm like a North Carolina boy where rent's like $400 a month. And I'm like, I'm making it. I'm a pizza boy. And they're like, get us a house. And I'm like, this looks cool.
Oh,
that place was terrifying.
Your cell was strong. Brett's like, we've got a place on the beach, on the water.
You can see the water. From between the openings in the crypt, you can see the water.
Guys, it was a brick house at the beach. Oof. It was like they had like gargoyles.
Heck,
and shit.
Did all of you know that house?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It was covered in gargoyles.
Gargoyles and those like scary metal awnings from like the 1930s that are spiky.
I was 23.
The tetanus awnings.
I had never looked at houses in my life.
It's amazing.
I was a resident advisor for 3 years in college.
Yeah.
I never lived off campus.
I get it.
Like, so I didn't know. And dude, then I didn't even see the house because I was in Greensboro. I come back and I'm like, ooh, I felt the same way. I was just trying to hold on.
Like, is this right? We didn't have like Zillow or Airbnb. You were looking at it on the internet.
That's right. Brett, I was just telling the girls that there was a summer in college where my best friend and I, who roomed together at USC, we're like, well, we got to get an apartment. We're obviously not moving home, but we couldn't afford an apartment. So we got a studio and we just put two beds in, just like Brooke and Haley did in the end of season two. We just were like, yeah, we can both sleep in this room. It'll be fine. We can eat in here. Who cares? We're not going home.
100%.
I get it, dude. It's a struggle when you're a kid.
I was young and I was like, Hillary, you've said one time, you were like, oh, you were immature. And I'm like, I've thought about that since you said that. And I actually am still happy because I'm still immature. There's just a difference between an immature 44-year-old and an immature 23-year-old. Yeah, I was too young to be picking houses. I did my best. I failed. We moved on.
That's okay.
All of us were.
Dude, you picked a weird house. I picked an apartment that I loved, except I didn't consider the fact that it was over a bar. When I went to look at it at like 2 p.m.
Yep.
And my first night in my first apartment in Wilmington, I was like, I've made a grave mistake.
See, I lived above a bar and I was like, this is the best choice I've ever made.
Coming from New York, Hillary's like, this is like midday. Like, so quiet in New York.
I invested in good earplugs and then I was okay. Obviously okay enough that I gave myself amnesia because the last 2 years I was there, I lived over a bar again.
Yeah,
you did.
I love that. I need, especially coming, like, you know, he'll coming from East Coast and from New York. When I moved to California, first thing I sought out was noise at night. It drove me crazy that I had moved to an apartment. A friend of mine had a room open up in Beverly Hills and I moved into this place on Olympic.
Oh, so quiet.
And it was so deadly quiet. I could never sleep. I needed the noise. Yeah. So I love that about
New York,
Wilmington.
I still sleep wearing earplugs.
Like, I do too.
I New York had trained me on that. Mm-hmm. When you got 5 a.m. call times, like I had to live on. Now I can't sleep without them.
I sleep in earplugs and a pillow over my face like this. Just like a small breathing hole.
Pillow that's just for being over my head.
How do you set an alarm if you're wearing earplugs?
I have two kids.
Just jump on your head.
The alarm's loud enough to wake me up. And, but yeah, I couldn't, the trash trucks at 4 a.m. in New York and like, no, couldn't sleep.
But you were in New York for years.
I did 2 years on a soap.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was a really big deal, Brett.
It's the proudest thing. Well, as an actor, it's the proudest thing in my career. I think I've done it since that I'm more proud of at this point, but
it's hard work. That's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, but how often in your career as an actor do you get to change the real world and have an effect on the real world? We were the first gay love story in the history of daytime television. We were the first gay love scene in the history of television, period.
Was it One Life or All My Children?
One Life to Live.
One Life. What years were you on?
2008 to 2010. So when we started the storyline, gay marriage was not legal in the United States. When we ended it was legal in 5 states.
Mm. Which is amazing.
We were a big part of that.
Oh my gosh, I have to look this up right now.
Yeah, waving that flag of like, you know, I worked with Chris Evans' brother. Yeah. And there was, you know, it was personal to a lot. It was a very difficult time for me as a man. And it was an incredibly important part of my story of becoming who I am now. And like, you know, being from North Carolina at a time where that was a hot topic and being able to, one, as an actor, you know, it's really instantaneously when you kiss someone of the same sex, whether or not you're homosexual or heterosexual, you know.
Yeah.
It taught me a lot as a man of like, you know, just that topic at that time, you know, being a 30-year-old in New York. But it also, it was a lot to shoulder at that time of like who I was when I started the role versus who I was when I ended it of like, who am I and what do I stand for? Mm. And, you know, equality was so important to me of why I took the role, which I wasn't cast in that role. They cast me something else. And 3 months later, they're like, this is your part. And I had to like think about that. But it was, yeah, I look back and during the time and after it, like it was just one of the things I'm most proud of in my entire life.
Do you feel like that experience taught you how to be an advocate? Like how to put yourself in other people's shoes?
Yes, a lot. Yes. I mean, like I said, I was a resident advisor for 3 years. I went through a lot of like training. You know, I went through a lot of experiences during that time with, you know, how to be someone that, listens and processes. And, you know, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? We're put on this planet to listen more than we speak. It's hard for me to say that because I talk a lot. Yeah. So if I would say, I mean, you don't know what someone else is going through until you walk in their shoes, right? And I spent 2 years, you know, there were times where so many people questioned my actual placement in this world, in the real world, because of a part I was playing, right? I went through some element of that with my family, with people I grew up with, you know, being a voice that's supposed to represent that community in some small way. So I absolutely learned how to be an ally and an advocate and like empathize so much with that. But also to me, the fact that it was an issue at all was appalling.
Yeah.
You know, that's because I said this when I took the role. My job as an actor is just to tell the truth. And the truth of this is these two human beings love each other.
Mm-hmm.
What else matters? Like, why do we fight so hard to get in the way of love? We should create pathways and roadways and causeways to create more love in the universe and in our world. So that's what I knew from day one. I learned more of what the struggle was through that process.
What you're talking about is why we get into storytelling as actors in the first place, is to be able to tell stories that affect change. But also you learn how to walk in other people's shoes by just being efficient at your job and doing the research and talking with people who are similar to your character and, you know, finding your way. I don't know anyone who's a good actor that doesn't know how to really empathize. I mean, that truly is our job, you know.
Maybe that's why so many of us are messy, because we empathize. You know, like our whole job is to be able to feel all the feelings.
Yeah.
And so how do you turn it off when you go home at the end of the day?
Literally 11 years later, I have tears coming up. From the
feeling. Oh, but Brett, I was so proud of you, honestly, because, you know, we have had to reckon with some things on this show as we've watched it back together of like, that didn't age well, you know? And this whole season two is the Anna storyline where Danielle Alonso is coming out on our show.
Yeah.
And our show did some like dorky stuff, but that's one storyline that I think was handled really well. I wish she would have stuck around. But you're right. The conversation in, you know, 2008 was 100% different than the conversations that we're having now. And you contributed to making that easier for people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean,
how many moms watch One Life to Live that all of a sudden are like, oh, I'm going to go talk to my son about his attractions or the person he loves. And it's okay.
That's like where I really understood the gravitas of it, was the fan mail. That's where
that's where
there were dozens and dozens of those type, you know, I wish Cameo existed then.
Oh,
you know, I really do.
Fan mail is amazing. You guys, I just went through my storage unit and I found bins of fan mail that I didn't answer because I'm so, you know, ADD that I just didn't. It was just like piled up in a thing. But I did go through some of them. And it's so cool to see the things that people were affected by and what they're going through. I mean, and we still see it all the time. The fans that will come out to the conventions.
And you did so much in that regard. Like, you are heroes and best friends and confidants and and in some ways role models, which sometimes I'm sure you are like, oh, maybe this isn't the show that you'd want to be.
Not today.
but like that, like you did so much for young women and now older women. And like, I applaud
who you call an old.
Yes, but not you. I'm saying older women who, like, the one beautiful thing about this show is like, we now connect with mothers and their daughters who both
isn't
have
that
watched
weird?
The show.
It's so cool. I know, it makes blows my mind now that I see when I again we do the conventions and we see the people that come out. Have you gotten to do any conventions? You have. I've seen you at several.
The last convention I went to, there's a video of like Brett and I like totally wasted behind the DJ booth.
Oh my god! Yes,
you're one of the last people I saw before quarantine.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, those things are wild.
They're so
but like,
fun.
It was a good time.
It started as a show about basketball, but it legitimately became a show about I believe you ladies. You know, you really carried it. And I think at that time, like, I look back on it and I'm like, it was so important. It would not have the cold. I just saw Ben McKenzie at Bitcoin Miami. Like, we talked first time we'd ever met.
Oh, I saw you post about that.
Yeah, like, I'd never met him before. We just did a little interview and I talked to
him. And you were like, whatever, you're a rival.
That's us. That's kind of what we said. But like, I believe the reason this show carried was because of the storylines, the work that you ladies did. Because, you know, because it became about more. It was a basketball show that how long can that run? And it became about so much more. And I think you guys really carried that torch and just did a great job. And I think you mean so much to people. So when
thanks,
I talk about One Life
Brett.
To Live and how I feel there, that's what you guys did with this show.
Brett, thanks, has Bubba. Your wife seen One Tree Hill?
Never. She will not.
What?
Nope.
Oh, but you're so funny.
You're so good.
I don't see it. I'm like, I'm a one note character. It is.
No,
you're not at all. You're wrong.
Yeah, there was no depth. There was no, like, I kept begging.
But I don't
you're
think
wrong.
That's true.
You're wrong.
I haven't
have
watched.
You gone back and watched yourself?
I haven't watched the show.
Honestly?
No.
You haven't? No. Brett, you need to watch.
I think more casting directors needed to watch that damn show.
I know I'm being, okay, I'm being obstinate. I'm saying you're wrong, but here's why. Let me explain exactly why you're wrong.
Tell me why I'm great.
Tell them, George. Tell them.
Come on.
I've never been one to shy away from an argument telling someone why they're wrong. God. Sorry. Okay, here's why I think you're wrong. Because there are so many people, and we've said this multiple times, whenever you're in a scene, there are so many people who could show up and see those lines on the page and do them one note, one dimensional, with no depth or anything. The fact is that you are interesting to watch because you always are thinking, regardless of whether Tim is thinking about dumb things or weird things or nothing, you are thinking through Tim. And it's interesting to watch anyone who is thinking. There's a lot of actors who come up and they show up and all they're thinking is, say this line, my brain is totally empty, and then I'm gonna walk over here and I do the thing. And you didn't. You always had something going on internally. And we saw it as an audience member. And that's why we all fell in love with you. And that's why the audience fell in love with you. And that's why you kept coming back to the show. There is no world in which you were a one-note actor.
Mm-hmm. And to add to Joy's point, it's an amazing thing for us, having started this show, to go back and rewatch our TV show. And we see things we didn't see then. You know, we would catch an episode here and there, but mostly we were working. And it is so clear from this sort of bird's eye view vantage point of being adults. All of us have gone and worked on other things. We've all produced other things. We know what it is. We're not as clueless and unaware, you know, as we were when we were just kind of bopping around doing what we were told.
Bopping around is the perfect way to describe it.
We were just bopping around like we didn't know anything, you know, and we were like little ducklings, and now we're grown. And you are so much fun to watch. And nobody knew back then what we know now, but you're, you know, we were just a group of friends doing dumb shit. Your talent, going back and watching it as grownups, is like so next level. And it's crazy to hear things that we all realize we didn't know because we just thought we all kind of got plucked out of college. Like, duh, of course your perspective was so good. You had other things in your toolkit that nobody else did.
I was He's like a real basketball pro.
It's amazing.
I would just
theater god.
It's an architect. Always, what?
Episode one, like the pilot, like it said Tim Smith, 6'4", chiseled. I'm like, that's not me.
Is that really what the description was?
I'm pretty sure it was. He was supposed to be a power forward. He was supposed to be a big guy.
Oh, no way.
Not me at all. So I would
You were chiseled. You
that's
were chiseled.
True. You were, yeah.
You're chiseled.
No, I played a lot of soccer. But I just looked at each scene like I'm a supporting actor. The scene's not about me. So what does the scene need?
Yeah.
What kind of energy does this moment need?
Your timing was impeccable, always.
Oh,
impeccable.
I appreciate that.
It's true.
I remember it so differently. So it means...
Really?
It really means...
Well, but tell us, though, because you added a layer of vulnerability to everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Tim talks a big game, but you also see the, like, little kid in him.
Yeah.
When we watch the show back.
Yeah. I think...
And I know just from, like, talking to you, And from our experience, there was a layer of vulnerability to being a young actor on a hit TV show where there's no footing, where you're constantly being told, like, you're lucky to have a job, kid.
Yes.
You know, like, how much of that real life vulnerability bled into what you were doing?
I was, you know, I there's a thin line between confidence and cockiness. Mm-hmm. Very thin line. I played on that line my whole life. Like, I just tightrope that line. So in some ways that I was told that so much, you know, like that was beaten to my head 33 episodes, you know, season two, I was flying myself back to Wilmington.
Stop it.
You know, season two, Lee and I were roommates in LA. They would put him in a car and take him to the airport. I would have to get myself to the airport. I would have to fly myself. Mm-hmm. I would have to find a place to stay. They would not put me up for like 8 episodes. I've done 20 episodes at this point, you know? So there was always this little like underlying thing of like, you know, you're lucky that we gave you this job. Never you earned this job. You're lucky you got this part. Never you deserve this, you know? But I grew up in a household. I love my family. I'll say that. But I grew up in a household where verbal affirmation was not a, you know, I was always trying to prove myself through like sports and through school and like get good grades and pay my way through college and like, but was never necessarily receiving the words that I wanted to hear. So I was kind of groomed for this and I was like, cool, then let me go get be.
Are you the oldest?
I'm the youngest.
Oh, you're the baby?
But my dad had a stroke when I was 14 in front of me playing basketball.
Oh, honey.
So I grew up like my brother and sister were gone. So I'm a little bit of a younger child, a little bit of an only child. So
yeah.
Like, I went through things where it was like, I just knew. I even, when I first started on Winter Hill, on my wall in front of me before I lived with, I had written in Sharpie, it said, I will not fail. It was just the first thing I saw every morning I woke up. Because it was like I know that the only time I will ever fail at anything is when I give up. Otherwise, it just hasn't happened in the time frame you expected it to. But the only failure is actually giving up. So I was like, great. It just was fuel for me. Keep telling me I don't deserve this. Keep telling me I shouldn't move to LA. Keep telling me I won't get another job. Keep telling me whatever you want to tell me.
God, they loved that, didn't they? Well, you'll never get another job. And so, work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, great. I'm now on another job and I'm not available. So you can wait for my next
one. That's a fun feeling, right?
It was
right?
Good.
It was
nice.
Good. It was good.
I'm unavailable.
I remember Lee telling me, Hillary, when I booked a movie, Lee would like came back and was like, yeah, Hillary was telling, congrats for booking a movie. Like you guys were like knew I had booked something. So it was like,
yeah,
you know, I just, it was motivation. It was really fucked up. And I was, you know, I was just too fragile to show it. And I masked everything with comedy. So like, it was who I was in real life too. That's why I didn't really become a good actor until One Life to Live. That's when
I don't know, but Brett, you're wrong.
In my own
because
opinion.
I think your ability to do dramatic work.
Yeah.
really, really shows itself in your comedy, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's weird to me that you, you know, went from doing all the heavy lifting with the comedy on our show to doing something so serious yeah. right afterwards. Mm. Were you funny on One Life to Live? Did you get to be funny?
No, that was, I mean, it's the last job I ever did. And you'll know why when I say this. I got pre-nominated for an Emmy my first season.
Yeah, you did.
And I'm walking in with my Emmy reel and the EP calls me in. And he says, tomorrow's your last day on the job.
What?
Why?
I got because we were doing a gay love story. We were in Bible Belt soap operas.
Oh,
ABC
yeah.
Network. Plus, when I started that, there were 5 soaps in New York. When I finished, we were the last one. There was already the exodus.
Yeah, those shows were, they were cleaning everything out.
Everything's in LA. It was too expensive to be in New York.
Yeah.
So it was just time, but it was just the randomness of, I'm turning in my Emmy reel and I don't have a job. So I kind of got rid of all my reps and I was like, I need a break. And we started the company and I have an act.
Let's talk about the company.
Well, I co-founded the largest crowdfunding platform in the world for live streaming. We've raised hundreds of millions of dollars for charity since 2014. We have over 3,000 charities on the platform. So that's what I co-founded.
So you live stream, is it concerts? Is it like TED Talk kind of stuff? Like, what is it? What do you stream?
I produce For Paul with the cast of Furious 7 to raise money for Paul Walker's charity.
Yep.
When Paul passed away, I work with Cody and Ben and Tyrese and Michelle. And so we did that for 4 years. Tiltify is basically, we democratized the Jerry Lewis telethon model. So I was, you guys probably remember, played lots of video games back in the day. I went to architecture school. So we designed what's now known as an esports arena, but we designed it in 2008. Did my first event in 2011, had Zac Efron and Chris Evans and Michael Strahan and Snoop. And we had Rampage Jackson versus The Miz and UFC fighting in front of 800 people. We were on E! News and Access Hollywood. And wow. I would walk into CA and William Morris and they're like, nobody's ever going to watch people play video games. Literally, quote, that's what they told me. So,
which is insane. It's insane.
This is 2011. Nobody... Twitch didn't exist. None of the gaming existed. I just used to throw these big Super Bowl events and we would play like the Madden in the side room and more people would come watch us play Madden than we're watching the Super Bowl. So I had like this epiphany. And it's like the architecture side of like, see the problem before and move. Mm-hmm. So then Twitch launched. So we pivoted. We stopped doing events. We built the platform. It's now what every Twitch streamer, YouTube streamer uses to raise money for charity. And then I launched Humble House in 2019, which was saying, look, there's a shift. Twitch is no longer about gaming. They need more premium content. We're going to be a premium content provider, but for digital. And then the pandemic hit. So during the pandemic, I produced and directed all the live script reads for the Democratic Party. We did Dazed and Confused with Matthew McConaughey. We did Rocky Horror, which, Joy, you would have loved. We had 17 different musical performances.
Oh, my gosh.
We had Pearl Jam. We had The Grateful Dead. We had David Arquette. They all did music videos.
We had
Tim Curry. We raised over $1 million for Wisconsin.
You're
we did
killing it.
Final Tap for Pennsylvania. We did The Goonies with the original cast. And during the inauguration, Jake Tapper.
I remember Brett telling me, he was like, hey, I'm doing this thing. It's real, Hillary. I know. Like, it's not like... It's real. My company's real. And I was like, I know.
They talked about us on CNN during the inauguration.
It's
they said
so
it was the
cool.
most impressive use of Hollywood they've ever seen. And now we've launched Soulless. So like it's now we're into Web3 and all about giving talent.
Wait, what's
the abilities
Web3? Hold on. I'm a grandma. You have to go back.
NFTs.
What's Web3?
NFTs, Web3.
Oh, Christ. Like, I don't listen, guys.
So basically, Hillary, what I'm going to tell you the future is and what we're doing, giving talent the ability to work with their communities to green light their own content. So turning people like ourselves from employees to owners of their own IP.
God, that's the dream, Brett. You did it.
Well, we're doing it. So we just announced our first film slate. Variety put out our film slate.
Wow.
So we're really built an ecosystem. It's a token driven ecosystem with a marketplace that allows communities to engage in content like never. Oh,
I'm
ever,
so
ever
proud before. Of you, man. This is
so wait,
cool.
Does that mean, it's are you so just going to cool. fund all the shit that Joy, Sophia, and I want to do?
No, you're going to fund it yourself.
I mean, okay. Yeah, that works too. Okay,
it's
great.
You. Like it's Fine. this, it's this going back to where I started of like getting fired in my Emmy reel in my hand. Like I, Twitch streamers, YouTubers, they have all this power over their careers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in our careers, you're told when your career ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're not in
Isn't
control
it amazing
of that.
It all there goes back to that moment for you when somebody told you this is over. And that, you know, again, it goes back to that part of you that's always like, tell me one more time. Yeah. Tell me one more time. It's not going to work. I'll make it work.
Yeah, for real. So like that's what, you know, I've been doing this for a decade now, working with talent to engage their communities in ways that accomplishes their goals, which was raising money for charity. We built schools in Senegal with Travis Van Winkle and Andy Grammer. Raised money for Reach Out Worldwide, Paul's charity, or, you know, done a ton of things for charity. And now it's about, because of Web3 and because of what we're launching, and it's not Kickstarter, it's like securitized. It's fully regulated. So like communities can actually participate in the success.
Amazing.
You know, like we can.
Oh man, I got some stuff to talk to you about. This is exciting.
Yeah.
That's.
So that's what is the next big thing that we can direct people to? What's going on this summer that we can direct people to?
I mean, we're still building. So like, I wouldn't necessarily direct any. We're all about long form. So we're in the middle of like raising money and equity and tokens and all that.
Is there a website though, or a social platform that you would suggest people go to learn more and follow along?
SOLIS.io. We named our company Solis because the sun doesn't discriminate who it shines its light upon. Mm. And that's what the company's based on. It's, you know, everything grows from sunlight. So it's all about that. Mm. So Solis.io is our website. We actually have tons of them. We have Solis Labs.io. We have SolisStudios.com.
Cool.
So we have social, Solis_IO on Twitter, but we just hired a really big PR firm. So it's going to start getting a lot more presence and visibility.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so proud of you.
We're so proud of you.
Where's Tim today? So we know where Brett Claywell is today. Gone from like being a basketball god in high school and theater genius.
Yeah. What's Tim most likely to have become?
What's Tim up to?
Tim owns his own dominoes at this point. Like, no, I don't.
Yes.
What does Tim do? Like, I swear to God, I wanted him to have more depth. And like, I, as the character who played Tim, like, where is Tim? Didn't Tim and Bevan get married and have a kid?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah.
So Tim's paying child support. Like, that's the best we can expect.
Yeah.
Like, he would have paid it, but they're definitely, you couldn't be married to Tim for longer than 20 years.
So. No. But I'm still friends with the Tims of my high school, and I cherish those boys.
I think
those
boys grow up sometimes to be nice guys.
They do. I mean, they do. I didn't say he was a, I mean, he had a good heart. He never did anything, you know, intentionally wrong. He was a puppy dog. He was a sweet guy. So he's still doing the right thing. He's probably just struggling to make ends meet, to be honest.
Ooh, Mother's Day can be hard to shop for because there's that bad habit of buying mom things that she needs, you know, like, oh, here's some oven mitts, mom, or here's a new vacuum cleaner, mom. But Mother's Day is really about showering the woman who does so much with just a little extra love. And so Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. Now, you can shop by price, like $25 and under, or $100 and under, or by category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or they have gift lists if you're really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, or for the plant lover, or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven. It goes on and on. So whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop at Macy's.com/giftfinder. Ooh, honey, you know that I can't wear fancy shoes with a dress. I am a boots and dress woman. So now that festival and concert season are going to be all about boots, Tecovas must be your stop before attending your next concert, you guys. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparels, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. This is so important. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. And the smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant makes navigation a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while you're on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Friends, it is the season of cheers. Shop the largest selection of wine, liquor, beer, mixers, and more delivered in as little as 1 hour.
Oh, that's so easy. Mini Bar Delivery brings the wine and liquor store to the palm of your hand. As featured in Rolling Stone, People, the New York Times Magazine, their app is loaded with party essentials, gifts, cocktails, entertaining tips, and the perfect finishing touch to any life moment.
And you'll get $10 off your first mini bar delivery order with code IHEART. Get mini bar delivery on the go, available on iOS or Android.
I spent the first trimester of my pregnancy with Gus in Puerto Rico. And if you're going to be sick and grumpy and tired, it's such a beautiful place. Like, it really fixes a lot.
It really is. I shot a movie there and I shot my first commercial there when I was 14 years old. It was so fun. And I've been back 3 times since then. My cousin used to live there and it's just a fabulous place. I love it.
I learned this word from Gina Rodriguez, who is probably the biggest Puerto Rico fan of all of us. Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than just a name. It's a way of life. It's a representation of the spirit of the island, you know?
The unique Boricua spirit infuses the music and welcoming spirit of the island in Puerto Rico. If you can hear the music, you're invited to the party.
Sometimes it's salsa, sometimes it's plena, sometimes it's reggaeton. No matter what the rhythm is calling to you, when you hear it, it's always time to dance.
All I want to do now is dance with y'all. Let's go.
Well, in Puerto Rico, you can't step outside without hearing music. Puerto Rico has renowned bars and nightlife and a welcoming spirit.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents.
Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Well, let's spin a wheel, shall we? Let's
see. Yeah, do you know about this? We spin a wheel, Brett, for most likely two.
Like in the high school yearbook.
Superlatives on the show.
Okay.
Will you spin the wheel with us?
Yes, I'll spin the wheel with you.
Let's do it.
So you got to help us pick somebody who this is in real life and on the show. We have two. Yeah. We get two answers.
Okay.
I like this one.
Somebody read it.
Okay. Most likely two. Go.
Have a cooking show?
Cooking show. Okay, so which character on the show is going to have a cooking show? I mean,
that Bevan feels like it.
I was just going to say it. She'd be like Giada, just stirring bowls in her bosom.
Yeah.
In her bosom.
I love it.
With her strong arms and her good hair.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lisa Goldstein, I think, could have also.
Or
Millie.
Or
Millie.
Karen. Yeah. I mean, Karen owns.
That's what
cafe.
I was
going to
say. Karen would have been my choice.
That's true.
Nice. That's a good point.
But Karen would have turned into like, she would have been like a guru. She'd have like books and like she'd have brands and Target. Like Karen would have blown up in that world.
I like that.
Wait, does anybody have a cooking show in real life from our show?
I feel like it's hard. I think it's you, Hillary. I think you should have a cooking show.
It's
kind of
you, babe.
But I don't have a cooking
but
show.
But you should.
You published a book with recipes in it.
But you have to put it on a network where you can cuss.
Yeah.
Well, that's been the problem. You guys, you know, we shopped a Mischief Farm show and everyone wanted me to really like sanitize it and be all like squeaky clean. And I was like, sorry.
No,
good luck
no.
Not happening.
You take us or you leave us.
Yeah, take us or leave us. All right, maybe one
sign
day.
Sign here, kid.
George, do you want a cooking show? No, she doesn't. No. She's just like, you're just like Princess Pizza, right? Yeah. So Tim, you'd be a big hit in the Morgan house because this one only eats pizza.
Ah,
Tim would.
That's what we're having for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
You called
him
Tim again.
Like in season 5.
No, I'm saying like Tim, the character.
Yeah. Tim coming through the door and the door locking behind him. Yes. It was delicious. I loved that episode. Well, you have to come back for that one.
I will. Absolutely. That was the one episode that I actually like really enjoyed.
That was fun.
That was fun. It was fun to come back and be like, hey guys, what's up?
I loved it.
Taking over the world. Yeah. Oh, I miss you so much. When are we going to see you again? Hello. When are you coming east?
I would love to see you all. I really
are you in LA right now?
I'm in LA. Yeah. For now we're going.
Okay.
Literally going to Cannes for the first time.
Congrats.
That's exciting.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Texas and New York. I'm traveling a lot right now. We're just in Miami, but I would love to see you all.
Yes,
hey, do you
want
to say a big fuck you to all the people that told you you couldn't do it?
No. I want to say a thank you because I wouldn't.
Oh, what a good
sweet North Carolina boy.
Yeah. I'll say fuck you when we're offline.
Okay.
We love you, Brett. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with us.
Kiss them babies.
Thanks for coming. It's so nice to see you.
Bye.
You guys, that was a nice conversation. Yeah. I'm glad that we got to catch up with him.
Me too.
I totally feel what he was saying about being told that you're not enough.
Yeah.
And then to come and just like kick all the ass feels so good.
So good.
Well, we're going to explore it next week. Season 2, episode 22, The Tide That Came and Never Went Back. I think there's lots of ass kicking that Dan is probably preparing to attempt to do. And
how are Brooke and Lucas going to be roommates?
Yeah, that's going to be real interesting.
Right?
Oh, my.
Right?
Yes.
They're just friends.
And nothing more.
Nothing more.
Wow.
Oof.
Come back and see us next week, guys.
See you next week.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at DramaQueensOTH.
Or email us at DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens.
Friends, it is the season of Cheers. Shop the largest selection of wine, liquor, beer, mixers, and more delivered in as little as 1 hour.
Oh, that's so easy. Mini Bar Delivery brings the wine and liquor store to the palm of your hand. As featured in Rolling Stone, People, the New York Times Magazine, their app is loaded with party essentials, gifts, cocktails, entertaining tips, and the perfect finishing touch to any life moment.
And you'll get $10 off your first mini bar delivery order with code IHEART. Get mini bar delivery on the go, available on iOS or Android.
Is it hoarding if it's boots? I don't think so. A woman can never have too many pairs of boots. It's the perfect gift for your loved ones and for yourself. So, this festival and concert season is all about boots. Everybody has to show up in style, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert with all your friends. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey, it's your drama queens, and we're here to tell you that choking is the 4th leading cause of accidental deaths. So let's talk about LifeVac.
It is a life-saving airway clearance device, which has saved over 1,500 lives. LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one.
Visit LifeVac, LifeVac.net, and enter promo code DRAMAQUEENS to save 20% and secure your home kit today.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape Resorts and Spas and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Boy, I've spent definitely a significant amount of time in therapy in my life. And I think there's just so many layers to life that can be hard to navigate. And having somebody there to just talk through things really makes the days easier sometimes.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.